Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many things you've already given us this day. And once again, the blessed opportunity to get back into your word. Thank you oh so much for that. Help us now as we continue our studies on the word faith. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word faith, we'll turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, as it reads, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." That's an awesome introduction of the book of Joshua and statements given to Joshua of great encouragement that would build his faith in the Lord and his courage in the task that he has set before him to do. And we can take these words and apply them to our lives in that when we trust in the Lord, follow his guidance, that he will be with us and that we can be strong and be encouraged and be fearless. Because it's right there in verse 9 again, "For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." When we truly understand that, that can give us the kind of faith that Joshua was developing here. And Joshua went forward, and Joshua did what the Lord told him to do, became a great leader of the children of Israel. As we can see over here in Joshua chapter 6, an event that took place at Jericho, displaying the faith in not only Joshua, but the people that were with him. In Joshua chapter 6, pick it up here in verse 1. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a loud blast, that the ram's horn, with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. You get to wonder, well, why did the Lord give them these specific instructions and have them do this in order for them to conquer this Jericho? Because the things that he were laying out for them were tests. They were simple instructions for them to follow obediently, and in following simple instructions obediently, they were able to accomplish what needed to be done. And the Lord would reward them. You may begin to wonder a little bit when you read these accounts of the children of Israel from the Exodus all the way into gaining possession of the promised land, of all the nations, all the peoples that they had to basically wipe out, to kill, to remove from that land. There was people living there. And they booted them out by killing most of them. They were supposed to have killed all them that were there, but they made covenant with some, and that came back to bite them. But what was going on was the Lord was surgically removing an ungodly people, surgically removing heathens, instead of the kind of action that was taken in the great flood when he wiped out every man, woman, and child and air-breathing animal on the face of the planet. These are other judgments that are coming to ungodly people, but in a smaller amount. A smaller amount in the sense of less people. Because the entire region was corrupt. The Lord surgically removed them, and the children of Israel were the scalpel, and he was getting rid of these ungodly people and giving them the land that he had promised Abram all the way back there from the beginning, where he told him to go into the promised land. Some have speculated and wondered that if Abram would have went to the promised land and stayed there like the Lord told him to do, that these other folks would have never came into that area and settled that area. But Abram didn't. He went on into other areas and didn't come in and really take possession and keep possession of the property that was promised him, which caused more problems for others down the line. As we can learn from many of the records that we have, how it's so important for us to pay attention to the instructions and to follow them exactly like the Lord gives them to us. Even talking about Abram some more, he went with Lot. He took Lot with him. He wasn't supposed to take Lot with him. And that come back to bite him and still hurts the children of Israel today. So we see how important it is. So when we see these instructions that are given to Joshua and the priests about circling the city and blowing these horns, it sounds silly, trivial. Why do such a thing? But it was a display of their willingness to listen to and obey the instructions and to do them precisely as they were instructed, which shows a faith in the one giving them the instructions, their faith in Joshua as well, and most importantly, their faith in God. So let's look back at this account some more after them getting these instructions as it continues in verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpet, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout." So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and then came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times, only on the day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. That's what I was speaking of, that surgical removal of them. Because they were wiped out. They were all killed. Man, woman, and child. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her." And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her family, and her mother and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron that they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjourned them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up, that buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So we see the obedience, we see the faith, we see the trust in the instructions that was given to them. They fulfilled that, they followed those instructions, and the city was given to them, and they took the spoils of that and put it into treasury. And they removed all those that were the ungodly. The only one saved was Rahab and her family, because Rahab had helped the spies that had went in, were checking out Jericho before they came in. And she was rewarded. So we can see even amongst the heathen, even amongst the ungodly, there is still opportunities of salvation if they turn to the Lord. And Rahab did, out of faith and trust, and it paid off. All right, now if you will, turn over to 1 Samuel. Now here in 1 Samuel, we see the account of Hannah and young Samuel, her son being born, her faith and trust in the Lord. And in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, pick it up right here in verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaimzophen of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Phinehas his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Now her adversary is actually Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, who had children. Verse 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now the razor upon his head is part of the Nazarite vow. As it continues, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. In other words, noticed her, that her mouth, her lips were moving. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. Belial means disobedience. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, and she said, Of my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I have prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. So we see Hannah trusting and having faith in the Lord, and also in Eli, that Eli would do what he needed to do to properly train this young man. Now, let's see how this continues on over into chapter 2. Reason Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, and mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Giving God the credit, giving God the glory for answering her prayers. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Displaying and showing her faith in the Lord. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall the thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Proclaiming, praising God, showing his faith. So she delivers Samuel into the hands of Eli. And Eli becomes a great man of God and does a great work for the Lord. Let's look over in chapter 3 and we'll see when Eli and Samuel have an interesting evening. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, and a child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass as at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, when the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He was a young man, and had not yet really got that connection or that indwelling spirit of the Lord given to him. But now the Lord knows he's old enough to be able to comprehend, so he's reaching out to him. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." The exact right response that Samuel needed to have, to trust and have faith in what he was hearing, was of the Lord. So from that moment on, the Lord begins to work with Samuel. Samuel does many great works for the Lord because of his faith in the Lord. And we will continue this study next time, but let's close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. These historical events that we can study, these events of the past here that have so many clues of the trust and the faith that the people of the past had, help us to have such strong faith, to fully and completely trust in you and turn ourselves over to you completely for your guidance. We thank you all so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.